Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation with Congressman John Sarbanes, who represents the 3rd District and was part of the Democratic group of congressmen who took over the well of the House in a protest around gun control and gun legislation. Welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks a lot, Mark. How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. Got home at 5 o'clock in the morning last night.
That's what I heard.
We waged a good fight, I think.
You did. We have a little tape here I want to play before we start the conversation. People get a feel for what it sounded like yesterday as the Democrats took over the well of Congress, and we'll talk about why that happened.
Give us a vote. Let us vote. We came here to do our job. We came here to work. The American people demand an action. Do we have the courage? Do we have raw courage to make at least a down payment on ending gun violence in America? We can no longer wait. We can no longer be patient. So today we come to the well of the House to dramatize the need for action. Not next month, not next year, but now.
That was Congressman John Lewis, one of the people who put together this sit-in. I have that right, John Sarbanes from Atlanta. Wasn't John Lewis kind of central to this, what happened yesterday?
No question about it, Mark. I mean, when you want to take action based on moral principles, then John Lewis is the person to join with, to stand with, to sit with, the person who marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and it's amazing that we have him there as a colleague and as a resource to guide us in these moments. So absolutely, John Lewis was at the center of this.
So talk about why you did, why the Democrats did what they did yesterday. I mean, I know there's been this huge debate, especially ever since Orlando, around guns. And there were two specific bills, if I have it right, that I do want to talk a bit about with you, that you were pushing for debate and a vote, correct?
Well, these are very, very simple measures, and they're bills that the Democrats have been pushing to bring to the floor for years. I mean, not just months and not just weeks and not just in the wake of the latest tragedy, but for years as a way of responding to these mass shootings that we had across the country. One would require universal background checks and close loopholes so that we can have better vetting of people before they actually buy a gun. Very common sense, and frankly something that a majority of gun owners support, because they don't want, you know, criminals or terrorists or people who are mentally unstable to be able to get hold of a gun without a background check. And the other is this idea that if you're dangerous enough to be put on an FBI no-fly list, meaning you can't get on a plane because you're on a particular list, that you're also dangerous enough that you shouldn't be able to purchase a gun. These are minimum things that 85 to 90% of Americans, Democrats and Republicans, think ought to be put in place. And all we were asking for, Mark, was that they be brought by the Speaker, Paul Ryan, that they be brought to the floor of the House for a vote. So that's what we were asking for with the sit-in yesterday.
And the argument, prior to some questions about the bills themselves, the argument that I understood from the Speaker and the Republican side was that this would have just been political showcase because it wouldn't have gotten through the Senate, and A, and B, that there were already congressmen, Democratic and Republican senators and congressmen who were trying to negotiate a deal. What about those two things?
Well, look, I mean, you know, I understand the dynamic between the House and the Senate, but we have a responsibility in the House as the people's House, as representatives, you know, 435 representatives of the people out there across the country, to move forward on a program that we think makes sense. So regardless of what's happening on the Senate side, if we think a particular measure has value, and in particular could at least, at the very least, send a powerful message to the families out there that are grieving, that are feeling the pain because they are the victims, their loved ones have been victimized by these mass shootings, if we could be saying to them, we in the House of Representatives, the People's House, are trying to do something to respond to your pain, That would be significant. And then the other thing is, if you pass something in the House, it can change the dynamic. It can affect the conversation that's being had on the Senate side. And before you know it, something that you thought wasn't going to be able to pass on a Monday is on its way by Thursday, and you've done something important. That's why we asked the Speaker to let us bring these things to the floor, particularly when 90% of Americans are calling for those very common sense measures.
I've never seen a process like this before where Democrats, when I heard them kind of chanting as if you were in a demonstration on the side in the streets in the well of Congress, this is something really very different than I think most of you have ever done.
It's unusual, and you know, this was happening when we've been gaveled into a recess. So it's not like we were actively in session when this was happening. I mean, the Speaker made sure of that. He sort of gaveled us out of session and put us into recess. It was during that period of time that members occupied the floor. It was disruptive. You know, I'm somebody who believes you ought to generally observe the rules of an institution, but in certain circumstances, I think, you know, more direct measures are required here. I think that you have to be very selective when you choose disruption as a path forward. You got to make sure it's the right issue and it's the right time. But I think in that respect, this was the moment, and this was the issue to take a stand on, and that's what Democrats did. And at the very least, Mark, because there'll be some who say, well, you know, nothing was achieved. You know, the Speaker gaveled through the proceedings and sent everybody home, you know, so what do you have to show for it? Well, at the very least, to a frustrated public out there, and in particular to these families that are looking at Washington and feel like, does anyone hear us? Does anyone care? Does anyone feel our pain? At least we were able to say to them, yes, there are people here in Congress, in Washington, who feel your pain, who want to do something about it, and are willing to stand up for that. And so I think if we accomplish that, then we accomplish something of value.
So before I let you run and get some rest from being up all night long, two quick questions and a comment from you about something else, all related to this. One has to do with the one bill that I've read some interesting things about, the FBI no fly list, and not being, folks on that list not being able to purchase guns. Some people think that the way this list is put together in the beginning kind of affects mostly people who are not white, because it affects people with names and Arab names and names that are clearly Islamic, and that it's not always kind of open and fair procedure on how this happens to people. As a matter of fact, I know two friends of mine who have nothing to do with any kind of terrorism who are Arab Americans who are on a no-fly list because of their names and they thought they were somebody else. So, I mean, there's some flaws in that.
Right. Now, look, fair enough, and you want to make sure that the procedures you have in place are fair, and if somebody's not getting put on a no-fly list for reasons that you know, have no merit and so forth, so you want to make sure that that's done properly so people don't kind of get caught up in a net that they don't belong in. So let's fix that. But the fundamental concept that if somebody is appropriately on a list that says they're too dangerous to fly on a plane means that they also are too dangerous to purchase a gun. That conceptually, I think, to me, is sound, and so it's a fair place to move the law right now when we're talking about trying to prevent gun violence. And I think that's what Democrats' perspective on this measure is.
So, and some people also see this as kind of the opening salvo of a major confrontation in this presidential election around the NRA and guns. I mean, do you see it as that as well?
I don't see this as an opening salvo. I see this as a continuation of a readiness on the part of gun safety advocates to stand up, to be heard, to fight back, to make sure that there's a real conversation happening about what we can do from a common sense standpoint to try to rein in this gun violence. And Mark, none of these measures that we're talking about are going to prevent every mass shooting from happening. Nobody believes that. But it could save lives, and every life counts. When you look at the families that are affected, when you look at the communities that are affected, we've got to do something. We can't just keep going through the same pattern over and over again. We need to stand up and take some action, and that's where this idea of enough is enough came from over the last few days, and it's found its way to the Democrats in the House. And it was the reason we gathered around John Lewis and took a stand.
And John Sarbanes, before we let you go, can we just take one call who called in to ask you a question, and then we'll let you
sure.
get some rest. 410-319-8888, Yeezy here at Morgan State University. Welcome.
Yes, thank you so much to the WEAA family. Thank you, Mark, for a great show as usual.
Thank you.
Congressman, I just have a question. If you and some of your colleagues have the will to continue this fight through the holiday, really, I would say for 49 days, let's keep this fight going and take it to the street. I think Speaker Ryan has done us a favor because I think it would have been defeated. Now we could take this to the streets, which you all keep in a great stand. And so do you all have the will to bring this to the streets? And let's see if we can galvanize support in the community to make these people do some common sense legislation.
Interesting question, Congressman.
If John Lewis last night at the end of this 15-hour sit-in said the fight is not over, we move forward, we find the next path. I think we're totally on board with that. We had a wonderful group of supporters that were outside the Capitol protesting all day long in support of what we were trying to accomplish on the House floor. We'll be coming back into Washington after the 4th of July, and I expect to see continued pressure being put on Ryan and the Republicans to take some common sense action with respect to this issue. So we have, I think, this has galvanized some people out there. It certainly galvanized the Democratic caucus, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeezy, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It was a really good question. And Congressman John Sarbanes, I want to thank you so much for taking time this morning. I know you and the others are exhausted after being there till 5 o'clock this morning, and we look forward to continuing this conversation with you and others. And thank those in the American delegation who stood up. Thank you so much.
Mark, thanks a lot. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. That was Congressman John Sarbanes, Democrat, representing the 3rd District, pardon me, talking about the sit-in that took place last night by a Democratic congressman. In the U.S. Congress. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we begin a conversation about the verdict that is supposed to be coming in any time now after 10:30. We have folks in studio and folks be calling in for the next hour and a half, as well as your calls to wrestle with what this verdict means and what the future might mean. Stay with us.